principle, the foundation of all existence. When one feels that they have not been treated properly, maybe they have stated something like this: it's the principle of the thing. In contemplating the events and the statements that were made, one might quite readily feel that there was a mistake made by themselves. Perhaps there was a little bit too much self-will involved, or maybe totally it was self-will. In other words, it was a human opinion, a human position that one was fixed upon. They were married to that view, and they weren't about to make a divorce. They were not going to let anyone wedge in between whatever the truth was and one's opinion. The purpose of this recording is to examine the term principle with a capital P representing God, so that perhaps one can gain a more clear vision on what we should be adhering to without variance. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, provided the world a textbook for Christian Science entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. There are three introductory quotes at the beginning of the text, even prior to the table of contents, which states, 1, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 32. Quote 2, there is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou, here and everywhere. The most important thing to think about when reading the textbook is the truth, because that's the very first thing stated. Ye shall know the truth. We must understand the truth. Then we will be made free. Free from what? From the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. The biggest hurdle in life to everyone, overcoming the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. The second quote tells us how to do it. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We must improve the thinking and the speech and the action. In other words, everything about what we do. Whether it's the thinking we do, whether it's the talking we do, or whether it is the actions in which we are involved. If one looks in the mirror squarely at themselves, they can point the finger to the mirror directly at themselves and honestly say, you are responsible for your own thoughts, speech, and actions, and they determine your experience. What experience do you want to have? Starting right now and forever. It's up to you. And if we make a decision that we want to improve in every way, then God will hear our prayer. Because God is fixed. And what it means is we will be aligning ourselves with divine principle, which is the foundation of all existence. Page 587 in the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. On page 587 in the glossary, it states the definition of good, G-O-O-D. God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. If we align ourselves with divine principle, we're going to experience only good. We are going to be living a life of spirit, not matter. Spirit is defined as flawless, transparent, and reflective, which means we will be reflecting the qualities of God. We will have a flawless life. No matter therein will be able to exist. There will be none. Since God is omnipotence, we will be able to reflect the power that we need to reflect to do whatever we are faced with anytime, under any circumstance. Since God is omniscience, which includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, we will be reflecting those qualities of God. Since God is soul, soul is comprised of spiritual, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. That means that when we do our looking, as we reflect God, we will be looking only for the spiritual truth in whatever it is we are observing. We're not going to be focusing on anything that appears to be ungodlike. Jesus told the devil to get behind him. He said, "Get behind me, Satan," when he was tempted different times. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that the lie and the liar are the same. In other words, a lie cannot exist unless there is an effort made to be dishonest. Honesty, of course, is the representation of truth. A lie is a representation of the opposite of truth. God is truth. Truth is the healer. Truth is the motive. Truth is consciousness. Therefore, God is conscious of all existence, because God is the source. As his reflection, we are conscious of the source and of the manifestation of all reality. Going back to the beginning, the first term for God, in accordance with the definition of God from page 465, which is recapitulation, the definition stated there is that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. You will notice that principle is right in the middle of seven terms. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Think of a pole that has a middle structure, and on the left side of the pole are three subsidiaries, and they are titled mind, spirit, soul. And on the right are three more branches, and they're entitled life, truth, love. They all connect to one structure, and therefore can pass through principle in order to intermingle and interconnect and interact. The redwood sequoia trees in Northwest California in the U.S. all connect, they bond together through their roots, which are shallow, but the strength that they have combined as one enable them to be the tallest and the longest living trees known on earth. If you ever played a kid's game called tug of war, or maybe as young adults frolicking around at a party, the typical way you do it is to have a dividing line, and it may even be defined by a stream of water. And let's say you had all the tough guys together on one side. And on the other side, you had meek people, and in the same number that you had the tough guys. Now, if the tough guys were all self-willed, they would not be working in unity. In fact, they might even be arguing about how they were going to do this and how they were going to get started to pull with all their strength. And the other side, the same number, they got together in a little huddle and agreed that when the voice command said, ready, set, go, they were going to be totally unified and pull steady continuously without giving up 1 inch. If they were totally unified and the other side, which were all the he-men in the group, were not unified, the ones that were unified would likely be the ones that were successful. Unity defies mathematics. Let's suppose that there were 20 people on each side. On the one side of the he-men, they might have two strong ones and one that decided that they were going to do it differently. So it would be 2 minus 1. And let's say it went like that in an inconsistent manner throughout the side that had all the he-men. Whereas the ones on the other side would be 1 plus 1 plus 1, adding up to 20. But not only would it add up to 20, whereas on the other side it would be less than 20, but it would really be the strength of more than 20 because they were unified. So in this case, 1 plus 1 plus 1 and so forth adds up to more than the strength of 20, because they're unified. If we are in alignment with God, we are in the majority, no matter what appears to be an obstruction to our progress. We defy mathematics. We may be only one, but we are one in alignment with infinity. It's kind of like the reverse of what was in that movie about Einstein. Einstein's niece, a fellow in the movie, were getting very friendly with each other, and they decided to go to a dance. They were standing on the dance floor, about 3 feet apart, and Einstein's niece said, "You know, in order for us to dance, we need to get into a dance position. But that's going to be very difficult because of the rules of mathematics." And he said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, we're standing about 3 feet apart. If we both take a step forward, let's say that brings us to 1.5 feet apart. And let's say we decide, okay, we're going to divide the distance between us in half." They take another step that is half the distance between the two of them, and now they're 3/4 of a foot apart. And she says, "We can keep doing this forever, and we'll never be able to touch each other to get into dance position, because each little amount of space that is left between us can always be divided by 50%. If we're going to divide instead of unify, we will never be able to accomplish the goal." Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. We will never be able to experience concrete being or even approach it if we don't have ourselves unified in thought, speech, and action with the one and only real foundation of all existence, which is divine principle, which is one of the 7 terms that describes God. Divine principle is system and structure. Structure, of course, is the foundation on which we build whatever we want to build, and system is how we do it. So we need to both have the structure, and we need to also have the knowledge and the discipline to follow the system in order to make it happen. Bicknell Young was one of the more successful practitioners in Mary Baker Eddy's day. In fact, he was termed the dean of Christian Science practitioners. That was just a nickname he was given by some of the people out there. And he said he had people come to him all the time asking for assistance in a problem they had in their business. And he said the most common problem that I found was that they did not know their business. One of the qualities of mind is knowing. That's part of omniscience. Intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. There's the story of 2 sets of footprints on the beach. And if you follow it down the beach a ways, it becomes 1 set of footprints. It's been interpreted to mean that when there's 2 sets of footprints, we are in alignment with God, and God is there with us. But when there's only 1 set of footprints, we've decided to go off on our own, and therefore we don't have the support of God. God helps those who help themselves. We have to know the business that we're in if we expect God to assist us. Jesus did not operate on miracles. He practiced 30 years before he went out into the public ministry. And even then, he had to do a little practicing, such as the blind man, that the first time he tried to heal him, the trees were dancing. Mary Baker Eddy states that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. In other words, we can gain perfection, but we have to do it in the human activities we're involved in first. God gives us the blackboard. God gives us the chalk. This is a little old-fashioned. Now we use computer screens and pointing devices. Software lets us do all kinds of diagrams without chalk and a blackboard. But the concept is the same. God gives us all the tools we need, but we have to work out the solution. Another definition of God, and this is from page 587 on the same page where the definition of good was, and that definition says, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Those are some of the tools. In fact, they're all the tools, along with the other definition of God, which included incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. But we have to understand what those tools are. We have to gain a more spiritual view of everything in our life by utilizing the tools that we're given, which includes, among other things, the primary qualities of God. On page 146 of Science and Health, beginning at line 31, Mary Baker Eddy makes this dramatic statement. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Disease, if you study that word, it means anything that is a dis-ease. It doesn't mean necessarily a particular type of sickness. It is a generic word that means anything that is not harmonious, which means anything that is ungodlike. Mary Baker Eddy says right there that divine metaphysics includes a system so that we can heal anyone. It doesn't matter your skin color, your location, your parents, your atmosphere around you. Nothing matters, because you can look in the mirror and say that there's a system out there that will enable me to learn how to solve any problem I have. And I'm going to go after it. I'm going to study. I'm going to tear everything apart so that I understand every word. In the textbook, which is 700 pages long, the last 100 pages are testimonies from 85 people. And between them, they testified to 486 healings. That means there was an average of 5.7 healings per individual that testified. And these folks brought about the healing without any outside assistance. It was basically from the study of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. In most cases, they started studying the textbook because they had a problem that was considered very serious, if not fatal, as diagnosed and as stated in the prognosis by the medical profession. So they came to a point in their life where they had no other place to turn but to God. Many of them were very doubtful when they began the study of science and health. But they all were verified healings, and they discovered that not only was the primary difficulty healed, but other problems that they had, some of which they weren't really even thinking about at all, but it was like a total cleansing of error and discord within their lives. Dr. Albert Einstein, who was a physicist famous throughout the world, made this statement: science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. He also stated, speaking of Mary Baker Eddy and Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science, he said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." And then stating about Mrs. Eddy herself, he said, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Back in those days, a woman could not vote and they could not hold title to property. So for them to come up with a great discovery that would upset the apple cart of the whole world by bringing forth the idea that there is no matter, but all in the entire universe is composed of spirit, that's something that the physicists had not discovered until around 1900, and they fiddled around for 30 years trying to figure out what they had discovered. And that was that the atom could be split indefinitely until there's nothing visible, and therefore what you originally thought you saw that was material was really a projection of thought, the consciousness of the observers, along with universal belief. When Dr. Einstein's friend, Dr. Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission, fooling around trying to develop an atomic bomb, everyone on that commission, except his friend Dr. Underwood, passed on as a result of radiation. Einstein was amazed at how his friend survived, and so they got into a serious discussion about it, and he told him that he was saved as a result of his study of Christian Science. Einstein took really a turn in his life by seriously studying Christian Science. And after studying it a while, that's when he made the comments that were just previously stated. Ira Knapp was one of the first students of Mary Baker Eddy that was assigned the duty of lecturing. Back in those days, lecturing was no easy task. This was 125 years ago. In fact, more than that. It was probably about 1880, so that would make it, you know, more like 145 years ago. But there certainly was not transportation throughout the U.S. unless you utilized horseback, because the trains had not been networked throughout the U.S. So it was a task, to say the least, to lecture throughout the U.S. His wife, unfortunately, had an early passing, and they had a son, Bliss Knapp, and Bliss was without a mother from an early age. So Mary Baker Eddy took him under her wing, and he was under the tutelage of her from then throughout the rest of his life, as long as Mary Baker Eddy was on earth. And he held all the different offices at the bureaucracy in Boston. And being under the tutelage of Mary Baker Eddy, he had one of the finest opportunities of anyone at all. She made sure he had the finest education and gave him every opportunity to be one of the finest Christian Scientists, which he was. One of his star students, by the name of Dr. Robert C. Putnam, who was a chemist, that's where he obtained his doctorate title, he wrote a book, well, he wrote several, but one of them is called 10 Bible Lessons. And that's the result of 30 years of teaching Sunday school. And just as he was very excelled as a chemist, the same as a Christian Scientist. He analyzed the entire Bible throughout that 30 years of teaching, and those Bible lessons are a result of a compilation of his discoveries in the Bible throughout his teaching career. I looked for years to find a good Bible course. I paid several hundred dollars for some of them, and some of them were by Christian Scientists. And yet they were kind of clumsy. In other words, they weren't smooth reading. They weren't fun to read. But when I discovered the 10 Bible Lessons by Mr. Putnam, I got a whole new inspiration about studying the Bible. And I'm talking about from beginning to end. You know, starting at the very beginning, the first verse of Genesis, and going to the final verse in Revelation. A lot of the Bible can be very dry, but Dr. Putnam's style of writing changed all that for me. And if you read those 10 Bible lessons, it's very likely you will have a positive opinion and you will want to read it again. I recommend one continuously read it from beginning to end. And when they finish, go back and start it again. The same thing I recommend for Science and Health. It covers the entire Bible very thoroughly and is only 146 pages of text. Now, I will warn you that there are an enormous number of footnotes, references, all of which are biblical passages. In a number of cases, it's complete chapters of particular books of the Bible. But it covers every major event, every major character, every major prophecy. And it also includes thoroughly the New Testament, which of course covers Christ Jesus, and Mary Baker Eddy, who was also prophesied in the Bible along with Christ Jesus. Only 169 pages. If one read one page a day, they would be able to read it twice in a year. If they read only 2 pages of Science and Health a day, they would be able to read it once a year. A third reference that is highly recommended is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer by Frederick L. Rawson. He excelled in everything he did. He was hired by a newspaper in the UK to research Christian Science, because in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it had made a very big splash in the UK, and one of the well-known newspapers there wanted to find out if it was all a fraud or if there was any substance to all of the stories that were going around about healings. He had a reputation of being a Bible student and also of being an exceptional consultant in electricity, where people came to him from all over the world for solutions to their problems from their large companies. The result was he became an exceptional Christian Scientist. In the book he authored, along with many others, this one entitled that I'm referring to is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. There is a section of applied treatment in there, which are 1,315 treatments of everything you can imagine. And he gives you one example in each one of them of how to heal it. Now, he's a very humble man, and he says this is only one way. He says everyone should be open and led to their own spiritual inspiration on how to handle the situation for themselves. Mary Baker Eddy states that in order to heal, we need to discover what the error is that is bringing about the problem. We need to do the analysis to find out exactly what it is, and we need to determine what the counterfact is. We need to expose it, and once we do, it will destroy itself in a majority manner, and the residual we can eradicate by explaining it away with the truth. He also discovered retroactive healing, which means he overcame the belief of time. And there's an explanation in two of his books about that. One is called Life Understood, and the other one is the one I mentioned. These are all on our website. All of his works are on our website. He's also the one that he was looking out a window with another friend, Christian Scientist by the name of Spalding. And this was back around 1900 or 1910, when motorized trucks were not very popular. And there was a man that was driving an animal, and they had a wooden cart full of rocks, and he had a feeling something was wrong, so he got out and examined the tailgate. And while he was back there, something alarmed the animal, and the animal raised up and dumped a whole load of rocks on him. Mr. Rawson made this statement, obviously with clear understanding and conviction. There is nothing but God. 5 words. With that, the man rocketed out from underneath the rocks, not a scratch. It was an instantaneous healing. There's a book by Stamp and Moss, two different authors. They were joint authors on this project, about the 41 parables of Jesus. We also have the major healings that Jesus performed on the website. We have four books by Wentworth Winslow. He raised a boy from the dead. Each one of the books is a short title about God. He saved himself through the study of Christian Science from a prognosis of death as a young man. As a result, he devoted his life to being a Christian Science practitioner. Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, was an avid author, and one of her books is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. According to the Christian calendar, she was right at 100 years old when she wrote it. Her finest book, I've read them all. To me, this is her finest book. In it, there are 7 specific chapters of the 13 that address the 7 synonymous terms for God. It appears to be the best book that is available for learning what the terms of God mean. Mind alone has 61 key terms to describe it. And the 7 together, there's hundreds and hundreds of terms. She has a series of 7 books that shows every place in science and health that any one of the 7 terms are used by Mary Baker Eddy, and they're underlined so you can easily identify them. All the tools are there. You only need to have an exasperated feeling that your life has not been what you would like for it to have been, and you want to make a change. You want to go up spiritward and forward without taking backward steps all the time. The tools are there. To give you an idea how these terms work together, think of mind as being intelligence and love as being caring for humanity. The Bible says we should tithe 10%. Intelligence will guide you on how to do it so that you're not foolish, but you're intelligent. That's intelligence of mind working with the generosity and the giving of love. The same with soul. Soul is seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. And since spirit is the only substance, then the 5 senses are spiritual senses. They're not material senses. Intelligence will enable you to do the seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling intelligently. How about action? Action is a quality of mind. I read the definition of good. Good included God being, or good being, omni-action. And good being God. That means God is omni-action. If you think of God being the only action, you can apply that to the quality of life. Life is living the qualities of God. You having a problem walking or running? Suppose you are in sports and you're a foot racer. You run the 100-yard dash or the 100-meter dash, or you're a distance runner. you can reflect the action of divine mind in your human activities. In fact, you should. You should strive to reflect the action of mind in all activities. If you're walking from the living room to the kitchen, or you're walking from your house to your car, or you're driving your car, having the mind of God directing you to drive properly. Remember what Einstein said, and this is in the header of our website, so it's on every single page. In fact, several of the quotes that I gave you are in the header. You can find them very easily by looking at the top of any page. The one I'm referring to about Einstein at the moment is that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Christian Science is very likely the only religion that is based on science. I don't know of another one. I've studied religions to a certain extent. That's exactly what Christian Science is. It's the science of Christianity and includes both science and religion. Religion meaning a way of life. It's practical. It's portable. It's with you all the time. Omnipresent. Doesn't matter what circumstance you're in or where you are, you can utilize it. Because it is mental. You don't need to have a Bible or a Science and Health or a book from Frederick L. Rawson or Wentworth Winslow or anyone else with you. If you study them consistently, you will remember exactly what you need to know to counteract any problem that occurs anytime under any circumstance. It's omnipresent. Mary Baker Eddy states that we should always have a model that we are molding. And of course, what it is our understanding of God. We are cultivating a model, just like a painter, a sculpturist, anyone that is doing something creative. And of course, the creative ability is from mind. And we need to have a model that we're looking at all the time. The definition of God. I gave you two different ones. And also the definition of good. Wonderful models. How about the two commandments? When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And he said the second one is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you hear the word love? Love God. Love your neighbor. Love everyone. In other words, love should permeate everything in your thought, speech, and action. Think of principle as something with a series of gears that come together in harmony. They're finely machined. They fit together perfectly, but they're going to have a lot of noise. Imagine they're made out of steel. Maybe if they're made out of plastic, they won't. But imagine they're made out of steel. If they have a lubricant, going to be a different story. Think of love being the lubricant of principle. Mary Baker Eddy includes the word love when she talks about principle often. Divine principle love. Principle includes harmony and balance. You're not going to have noise and friction if you have harmony and balance. And love is the thing that enables it to be seamless, smooth as glass. Love will convert a rough character into a refined character. One that listens to other people's needs and figures out a way to make a difference in their life. Anonymously. Humbly. Unless you blindfold them, they'll probably know you're the one that's washing their feet. But that's what we want to do. We want to be a servant to mankind. Mr. Rawson says that our goal should be totally to serve others. Make other people happy, is what he says. Don't worry about getting thanks. Receiving gratitude for what we give is not our purpose in giving. If we're giving the proper way. Our duty is to give. Not to give and look for gratitude to pat us on the back. Give generously, but discreetly. Anonymously, if possible. I'm going to offer you a little secret. I studied the book, How to Read a Book, or I think it's just called How to Read. And the author is one of the chief people from Encyclopedia Britannica. If you really want to get the most out of your reading, I highly recommend it. It was written a long time ago, but the principles in it are sound. And he obviously was one of the experts. Now here's the secret bonus that I'm going to offer you. Set up a system so you can easily record. And when you study, record what you are studying. As you study, you may do it in different ways. You might want to read a particular section of a book or a page or a chapter, part of a chapter, and stop at every little thing. If there's a word you don't understand, stop and look it up. And of course, if you use a computer, it is very simple these days compared to what it used to be, because there are free services on the internet that even diagram the words with synonyms and antonyms, and they give you the pronunciation. The 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster is available. You can buy the book. I have it. I've had it for years and years and years. But today, with large screens, I use 55-inch, where you can put a lot of things up at once. It's very convenient to be utilizing computers with monitors. In fact, you can have multiple monitors. Many of the computers today handle three monitors standard, and you can always get a computer that has a room for a graphics card. You can handle more than three on one computer, and you can have multiple computers. When you're studying, typically you're going to want to use study aids and multiple resources. Just like I mentioned, the dictionary is one of them. There are concordances where you can look up on the computer every place that Mary Baker Eddy utilized a particular word or phrase. Do the same thing in the Bible. In fact, with software, you can scan any book and search any word or phrase within the book. Recording is such a valuable way to learn because it directs your thought to focus. I don't believe words can adequately express the benefit one can receive by utilizing a recording system. With their study. Before this thought came to me, quite a few years ago, I recommended rewriting any book that they're studying that they really wanted to tear apart and understand as completely as possible. Rewriting the book. I recommended rewriting Science and Health in your own words. Rewriting what you were reading out of a Bible in your own words. And then I have it on a media that I can easily play when I'm doing something, like being in the kitchen or taking a shower or driving, if you're on a place where you don't have to focus totally on driving, like you're in an area where the cars are very remote. Certainly you wouldn't want to be distracting from anything that is required for safe driving. You could be waiting at a meeting place. You could be walking along the street and listening. You would be surprised if you do that, you will find that you will ask yourself, and I'm talking about when you rewrite something or record something that was from inspiration and not just reading the words. In other words, maybe thinking about the explanation of what it means, for example. And you're going to ask yourself, where did that come from? In other words, it will be inspiration that will flow, and you're going to be out of the picture. It's going to be divine. And the more you do it, the more often it's going to occur. Try it. Be like Mr. Rawson. He tested things. If it worked, he used it. If it didn't, he didn't. He would listen for a better inspiration, a more pure solution. That's what we all need to do. Unless we're walking on water, we have more dirt to plow through. I don't believe I covered the operators The operators in mathematics, the basic ones, are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The digits, 10 digits, don't do you any good unless you do something with them. The same thing with the definition of God, the seven terms for God. If you do nothing with them, they mean nothing. There's no practical use. Well, with the system of divine metaphysics, there are four operators. They're called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The Word represents the facts about God. What do these terms mean of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? What does it mean when Mary Baker Eddy says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite? Or that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal? Certainly, if God is omnipresent, which it states clearly in the Bible, God could not be tangible. It's one or the other. God's either tangible or God is incorporeal. God is either infinite or he is finite. Heaven help us if God is finite or tangible. If God is not omnipresent, we're in big trouble. If God is not good, perfect, as a matter of fact, we're in trouble. If God is flawed instead of flawless, we're in trouble. If God is opaque, we're in trouble. If God is made of matter, we're in trouble. If God is anything other than the definitions as given to us by the wonderful individual that discovered Christian Science, we're in trouble. These famous physicists and chemists and mathematicians, they tried to define what made the world exist. A humble woman came along and gave the entire truth about it. That's why Einstein said, "Everything that is in this book." He'd spent his life studying, trying to figure out everything. He said he'd like to ride a beam of light. In other words, travel at the speed of light throughout space, which means that time travel. Mary Baker Eddy explains how we can do it. She went instantly from her home on the East Coast to the West Coast, stayed there for 2 weeks with friends, and returned. She didn't tell anybody about it. They didn't find out about it till after it was all over with. She wasn't there to boast. She was there to prove that you could overcome the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. She could have ascended, but that wasn't her message. They would have thought she'd been murdered or something. And she was, mentally. But she fulfilled her mission, as stated in the Bible and prophesied in the Great Pyramid, as did Jesus. Jesus' mission wasn't to stay here after he left. He gave the civilization everything they could handle. He tried to give them more, but they couldn't handle it. That's explained in chapter 3 of Science and Health on Marriage. He gave them everything that they could possibly handle, and then they failed. 12 disciples, how many showed up at the cross? He preached to all those people on the hillside, explaining to them, what is divine principle? What is your foundation? 4,000 plus women and children at one time, 5,000 another. Just those two, there probably would have been 50 or 100,000 people. Just men, there were 9,000. The Bible states that he had 300 disciples at one time, in addition to the 12. What happened to them? Mary Baker Eddy said that if Christian Scientists don't do their work, we're going to go into the longest and most difficult dark ages ever experienced by mankind. And that's where we are right now. We're at the deciding point. We have some very diligent people working behind the scenes. Very diligent. The president. And I don't mean the one that's advertised as the president, who is a fake. He hadn't been seen for over 3 years. 6 different actors are playing his part. We have images of him. We've had him on our website to show, to expose the evil. Not to expose a person, but to just show how evil works. It tries to mock truth. But our real president, who is really the one running the show, he has an alliance of countries all over planet Earth. And they're working together, taking down the examples of evil, agencies, their top people. There have been over 2,000 CEOs of companies that have been doing evil things. We've brought a halt to cloning factories, underground evil activities, abusing humanity in many ways. The earthquake a few days ago that was in the Northeast was done to destroy equipment that was intended to control the world. There have been many explosions in Washington, D.C. area. They were to destroy the underground tunnels where nefarious activities have been going on for 50, 75 years. A lot of the evil is being exposed, and the symbols that are representing that evil, many of them have been terminated. A lot of things are being cleaned up. But if we don't do our part, we cannot expect the benefit. Because if we're not involved, all the good that is being done by the people that are doing these things that I'm referring to will not help us individually. Because we'll slip back into the kind of condition we had before there was cleaning up begun of the swamp. We have to make a decision. Do we want to just point the finger and say, well, they should do it. They should take care of everything. They should solve my problems. We are the ones that were lax and let America fall into the abyss where we are right now. And it's a lot deeper below us, which we're headed to, unless we take a stand for truth. It's an individual decision. If we do our part, it's going to be a whole lot better than if we don't. We have all the tools, as has been stated throughout this recording. All the tools. We have to work them. We have to demonstrate them. Oh, I didn't finish the operators. So the Word, as mentioned, are the facts about God. The Christ means that, like Jesus, when he was walking along the roadway and he saw a blind man, was he like the people in the story about the Good Samaritan? He walked on the other side of the street so he didn't have to face him? Or was he like the Good Samaritan and he helped him? What are we going to do? Are we helping people in need? That was brought up. Well, the Christ means that we are going to translate the situation that is a human picture into the reality, which means we're going to look through the lens of spirit. It's our choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to ignore a stray dog that is desperately looking for food? A man or a woman or a child that's in a wheelchair that has a problem of palsy or epilepsy or whatever. Maybe they've had their limbs cut off because they were put into a war to fight between nations to see who's going to end up with the oil or the gas or the gold or minerals that are underground. What are we going to do? Are we going to stop and make our best effort to give a sense of encouragement to those people? Yes, also be generous with the money, but be intelligent about it. Mary Baker Eddy asked one of her students, "What do you do when you see a stray dog or a person in need?" She said, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" You know, he wasn't answering. And he said, "No, Mrs. Eddy, I'm not." He knew what he should be doing. She gave him a wake-up call. He knew it. He knew what he should have been doing that he wasn't doing. Well, are we going to be a Christian Scientist? Are we going to help those in need? Are we going to give 10% of our time, 10% of our money, 10% of our effort, our thoughts, speech and actions? Are we going to be a neighbor? Are we going to love God? And are we going to love our neighbor as ourselves? Are we going to love others like we would like them to love us? I don't mean in a sensual, infatuous way. I'm talking about impersonally. Caring for people. Be kind to them. Wash their feet. Are we going to do it? Are we going to be a sheep that only does it if somebody says, "Okay, this is what you have to do"? Christian Science teaches free thinking, liberty, so we can think for ourselves. It gives us the tools. Are we going to pick them up and take them and use them? Are we going to get self out of the way and let God be our guide? Let the intelligence of mind, the purity of spirit, the spiritual sense of soul, the qualities of principle, system and structure and balance and harmony, the spiritual life. Are we going to lead the spiritual life? Are we going to exercise the qualities of God? in everything we think, say, and do? Mary Baker Eddy says, often the difference between success and failure is how we use the moment. A moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. It's not a mathematical statement. It is a spiritual statement. Are we going to use our moments constructively? Are we going to take a little bit of time at the end of the day and say, what did I do right today? What could I have done better? What did I do wrong? How could I have corrected that? How can I correct it so I don't make the same mistake tomorrow? At the end of each week, are we going to say, what did I accomplish this week to spiritually advance me along the path, the infinite path of infinite progression, so that I can be striving for concrete being? What did I do this week? What did I do this month? What did I do this quarter, this year? What have I done in the last 10 years, last 5 years? What have I done since I was on my own as an adult at the age of 18 or 20 or 25, whenever it was? What have I done to help humanity? Do we want to be able to say anything tomorrow that was better in what we've done? Principle is the foundation. That is the foundation. It connects to all the other synonymous terms. Well, that's the Christ. The Christ is changing our thinking no matter what we're facing. We're focusing on the Spirit. We're focusing on the truth. We're focusing on divine mind that is infinite in its ability to be intelligent and wise and knowing. How much of it are we going to reflect? Christianity is the third operator. That means we're going to demonstrate. We're going to prove what we're talking about. Just like Mr. Rawson. He would test something and then he would use it to bring about a practical result. Remember what Solomon said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first God. Forget the healing. The healing is not important. Building your character along the path of spirit, that's what's important. Everything else will fall into line. We don't have to be concerned about it. It will happen. Read those 100 pages of Science and Health from page 600 to 700. They totally forgot about their problems. If they had a vision problem, all of a sudden they would forget about wearing their glasses. It'd be automatic. They'd be reading without glasses. They'd be doing all their activities without glasses. Subliminal advertising is very evil. The optical industry today shows everybody wearing glasses. It's a rare person that they don't have in a movie or an advertisement. They could be advertising going out to eat and they're going to have everyone wearing glasses. It's not natural. God doesn't wear glasses. God doesn't have defects. We can overcome anything that we desire. We have to do it by taking action. Don't expect someone else to do it for you. Forget about going to a Christian Science practitioner. You be your own practitioner. Forget about going to a church, unless you want to do it. Whatever you want to do, it's your opportunity to do it. Most of the Christian Science churches have gone out of business, as have been the case with a lot of churches, but particularly the Christian Science churches, because they didn't follow Mary Baker Eddy. They turned it into a prophet center instead of a spiritual healing center. We don't go to a church for mathematics. We don't go to a church for to learn physics or chemistry or math or music. Everyone needs to do what they feel right about. If you feel right about going to a doctor for help, go to a doctor for help. If you want to strive to get more spiritual, then work on it. And let it be a natural evolution that takes place, not a force of human will. So we can demonstrate, we can prove it, we can heal, but we have to follow the rules. And we teach that in all of our prayer treatments. I've been mentioning it several times in this recording. Things that we need to do. Shakespeare gave us great clue. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What are we going to do with our thinking? Okay, the fourth step, after we have been able to do healing, is the science. And the science is realizing that everything is natural, and we are being a reflection of God on a continuous basis. There are different levels of consciousness, which are explained on page 115 and 116 of Science and Health. Three levels are in the mortal area, and one is divine, which is the highest level. So those are the operators of the system of divine metaphysics. It's basically a training exercise for our consciousness, for our thought, speech, and action, for the way we conduct our life. Living what we learn, and learning on a continuous basis. Remember Mr. Frederick L. Rawson, 5 words brought forth an instantaneous healing. That should be a wonderful model for us to consider. There is nothing but God. Amen.